Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And my last sentence is, yes, I am. And all the North Koreans, my generation, we are drawing and dreaming a beautiful picture of a free North Korean society. It's going to happen within our generation, definitely.
Not many of our podcast guests start by telling us they're in pain. Even fewer that the source of their discomfort is the scars inflicted by North Korean prison camp guards. Then again, not many of our podcast guests have seen what Timothy Cho has. This remarkable man has escaped the Kim regime not once but twice and lived to tell his extraordinary tale. His is a story of tireless courage, resilience, and, in his account, a great deal of luck. Timothy now has a new life here in the UK, working for a charity called Open Doors that helps Christians facing persecution all over the world, including some 300,000 toiling under the vengeful eye of the Kims in North Korea. He joined us down the line for one of the most moving, humbling episodes of Free Exchange we've ever recorded. I began by asking him just how North Korean defectors get out of the country.
So most North Koreans' routes to escape their country is only one way, which is go to China. But in China, obviously, it's very dangerous and risk. They are arrested by Chinese authorities, which is quite challenging, because China is a ratified state of 1951 Refugee Geneva Convention and also 1961 Refugee Protocols. So which is China as a member state, most of those international refugee convention and protocols, and North Koreans are allowed to be given political protection when they leave their own country. China regards North Koreans as economic migrants, so they arrest them. And another point is I just want to highlight as well, South Korean government is willing to accept North Koreans when they arrive. Sorry for those who, many refugees around this time. But when these North Koreans, actually, if they able to get into South Korea, there is a guaranteed of this place where they can live. To recognize even as citizens under one Korean policy. That does not work for North Korean escapees in China. So my case was not much different. I had to go through the same path. Most of North Korean refugees going through Vietnam, Mongolia, Cambodia, they have to cross the border again into another country. And from there, they ask South Korean embassies support or missionaries help them to get into South Korea. So which my case as well, I was going to Mongolia, but at the border, at the Mongolian border, I was arrested with other 17 North Korean escapees. And then we were sent back to North Korea. And as I lived in North Korea until that age of 17 in my life, and yet obviously I had never gone through prisons in North Korea. But I saw many people of starvation on the street, and also my life was being a homeless kid on the street in North Korea after my parents left, means escaped to China earlier. And to be in a North Korean prison, that was just blown up of my imagination of that country who were brainwashed me, the best country. But all the act of inhumanity and suffering and torture and beating and how they were treating these people in prison, it's because they escaped and they called them betrayers, which I was included. Mm-hmm. And it was horrific, that which even myself was beaten up and what I so-called tortured as well. Anyway, I'm not going into that much details. But what I describe inside the North Korean prison, it just reminded me of those olden days dreams, how it used to be.
Yeah.
But thankfully, in 2 weeks' time, I was sent to my grandparents' house. The regime side, it was quite, I realized I was too fragile to carry on the interrogation. So they gave me kind of a three days bail. Once I recovered, they planned to bring me back into the interrogation and investigation again. The fact is, what they want to catch up is why you went to China. They know why you went, obviously, there are economic reasons. And political reasons they try to follow you up is you met with any South Koreans in China, or you met with any Westerners in China, or you tried to go to another country and cross the border, means you must have network. That network, they are very eager to finding out, and they even send secret agents and to destroy or assassinate these people who are organizing get out North Korean people. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason why they are torturing people, and if you don't tell them the truth quickly, even though I was just a high school age boy. Anyway, and through that process, I still during that 3 days bears, and I managed to re-escape to China again, and it was difficult, very difficult.
How did you get across the border?
So the border between China and North Korea is a Tumen River. It's a river, and both sides, they have military soldiers. Particularly North Korean side is heavily, actually soldiers are standing there and they keep eye on it. If anyone crossing the border, they can even shoot you immediately. So you can swim, or if it is not that much deep, then you just walk through the river. As long as you can avoid the patrol's eyesight, we can succeed to get into China. It used to be very, very easy in early 1990s. Even I, as a boy, I used to go and swimming there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you lived near the border when you were...
Very nearby, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but this time, nowadays, the context is different. This border is properly heavily militarized. I mean, not militarized, but soldiers are there. Many people also have been killed during their crossing the border. So my second escape, managed, but I couldn't think of to go to another country this time, which I then went to American school in Shanghai. And we were hoping they were helping us to get into a democratic society, because that was a foreign institution. American school, obviously, international school is a public place. It's not any diplomatic center who could support in that way. We were then again arrested, and they eventually had to call up Chinese police, and they taken us to the Shanghai International, Shanghai Police Station first. And after a few days, they then were taking us to Shanghai International Prison, where I was detained with a number of international prison mates in my cell. I was literally fed up how many prisons I had gone through. But the last one was a very proper prison, former for foreigners, an international prison. But I was the youngest, actually. I suppose not to be in that prison, understanding so far under international law. And there I met several prison mates from US, Japan, Colombia, Malaysia, Chinese, South Korean. He was a good friend, South Korean guy, who was a gangster, actually.
Well, yeah. All sorts.
But interestingly, from there, I also had a different perception of religion. Because I was deeply brainwashed in North Korea. I understood missionaries or Christianity were kind of American religion who used to come and kidnap North Korean children, you know. So in North Korea, it's absolutely, you cannot believe and follow any other religions. And then the Kim family itself is they are gods. And also their own ideology is kind of state religion. But from there, in prison, because of it was international prison, they were allowed praying each other. And I first joined in that prayers when this gangster, South Korean gangster, he asked me that I could start praying for what I was wishing for. And I knew it's my second repatriation back to North Korea, I was being executed or put me in a prison camp at least, because I went to American school. North Korea would never tolerate anyone is linked with American person or American institution. And because of the reason of America, North Korea's current ideologies continue to survive, exist. I thought, yeah, it was 100% I thought I was going back to North Korea. And after a while, two people came and visited me in the prison. And I thought they were North Korean agents. But actually, they were from international community. And they said, once we entered the American school, I think that was publicized through a couple of journalists. And petition went on pressuring on the Chinese government not to send me back to North Korea because of immediate execution or imprisonment in a prison camp. I was surprised. And for the first time I was joining Christian prayers in my life, the first time I called God, in that my life, I still believed that my prayers were received. So what the China did agree to deport me to the Philippines from China directly, which is very unusual, almost not possible for North Korean refugees. So my case was something I believe the unusual process had gone through. That's how I came to a democratic society. That's my new life begun, but it's been, how many years? It's been more than 10 years since I escaped North Korea. And
how did you come then from the Philippines to the UK? Was it a charity? Was it the British government?
I presume I could say maybe that was diplomatic, you know, kind of the conversations through. I first went to South Korea, obviously.
Okay.
And I was there for a couple of years and then come to UK. Yeah, and it took me a while, obviously, to get refugee status in the UK and then going through a citizenship application process.
Yes.
But I'm deeply grateful to the people of the United Kingdom that what kind of life I have today. And particularly when I always think of this, it was kind of impossible story I have today here living in the UK. I have been able to go to universities and get my education and freedom of opportunity. It does explore in a democratic society.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly through my own experience in the first hand of totalitarian dictatorships.
Sure.
And they never respect human dignity and freedom and justice. And otherwise, if there are free people available and economic opportunities, I don't think any North Korean would be willing to escape. the fact of this North Korean regime continue on survive and exist. And over 75 years, we just had another military parade, which we saw it was one of the biggest military parades than previous parades, with few more new kind of continental ballistic missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding of my life in democratic society, it's not just about I am now being a free person living here with freedom of faith and speech and expression. But I had given a very privileged opportunity to study politics and 2 degrees, BA and master's. And this has been kind of revealing the truth of the what a political ideology means and what's the state's primary responsibility to protect their own citizens. And that context is completely denied to people living in North Korea. Now, there is absolutely only a few privileged and minority, they are control these people, and it's complete isolation and information blockade from both inside and outside.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
How much do you think that ordinary North Koreans still believe in the regime?
It's a very interesting question, and I like that to explore and analyze of this line. And my generation, and it's the same generation as the current North Korean leader, the young man Kim Jong-un and his sister. So we are the same generation of third. But what it happened since we were going to primary school, you age about 7 or 6, 8, you start going to primary school and you begun seeing your classmates were in hunger and starvation. So these generations have been going through that hunger economic arduous march throughout 1990s. And during that period, we believe at least 3.5 million people died of starvation.
Mm-hmm. So just for our listeners, this is the famine in North Korea in the mid-90s.
Right.
Yes. Millions of people.
Yes. And that brought different perspectives throughout the famines. What I call a third generation, as well as market generations, they rely on their market activities. Market activities means individuals to the farm are growing food nowadays. They make their own allotment in the mountains and then a small scale of the imported food from outside that combines all their market activities available and for their live on daily. So that market activities means that is more important than the loyalty to the Kim family. They had seen, they learned the Kim family as gods. They would never allow people to die of hunger. So that was first Kim's manifesto. I will always feed you 3 times a day, rice and meat. But that promise has been broken since 1990s. So understanding of these third generations who significantly believe their own initiative of market activities are the survival resources, sources, then they are going to believe and follow Kim. So artificially, ostensibly, they have to show their loyalty to the Kim family, because that's the regime's oppression and coercion led people to follow and continue and sustain this regime. But in their heart, they don't have it. It's not. So that is a new perspective. And I think what it means, it will make something kind of groups outside able to break through. What I'm saying is within North Koreans, such as exile groups, they have a potential tactics they can use and binding with these generations inside North Korea. You may believe that, how then do you contact with people inside North Korea, such an isolated country, obviously. But there are about 40,000 North Korean escapees around the world. In China, we have around 200,000 North Korean escapees, and over 70% of them are women and girls, and over 70% of them also are human trafficked in China. None of them responsible for them, actually, in the meantime, because the regime abandoned them and China can arrest them. So they are between that, they can be arrested, which they are vulnerable to any kind of harms and attack and kidnapped even by gangster groups in China, and then sold in the trafficking market. So these 40,000, I know it's quite tiny minor, percent compared to 25 million whole population inside the country. But we, most of us, have family members inside North Korea. Many of them, they continue to send money to their family inside. And they pretty understand their family living outside North Korea is wealthy off. And they, from that perspective, many people even want to run away as well from this country.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned the status of Christians. There's about 300,000 Christians in North Korea who are even more persecuted than just the average North Korean person.
It is inevitable way North Korea have to treat it, because Kim family comes from strong Christian background, and Kim was a Christian. He was baptized when he was a boy. His mother was a very faithful Christian who she was baptized by
Kim Billy Il-sung Graham. Or Kim...
Yeah, Kim Il-sung. So Kim Il-sung's mother, she was baptized by Billy Graham, father-in-law, in early 1900s. Because there were many American missionaries and British missionaries in Korea at that time. It was United Korea. And they established many schools and hospitals in Korea at that time. So early 1900s, Korea was called the Second Jerusalem of East Asia. They had the biggest Christian mission centers in Asia, training centers. So even both Kim Il-sung's parents, they went to Christian schools, you know, and became very faithful, you know, devoted Christians, even Kim Il-sung himself. And when this North Korean ideology, which Kim Il-sung later he created by himself in many ways, bringing through his own studies, it's pretty much he established the system like the Bible has structuralized. So there is the 10 principles in North Korea has. That's all that 10 principles talks about how we must give our loyalty, our life, you know, everything we must give to the Kim family.
So it's like the 10 commandments of the Kim.
Exactly. That's the 10 commandments. The same structure and the change of those words just about it. And that's how he has established the current North Korean system upon like biblical systems. So from that point, most of the Christians would never able to agree with this, because Kim families think that Christianity and Christian faith is their rivalry. So you heard that number of foreign missionaries, foreign prisoners in North Korea over the past years. And you heard the recent American young man, Otto Wombia, who was even killed after he returned from North Korean imprisonment. or number of missionaries who returned after three American missionaries who were imprisoned in North Korea. They were returned after Trump's election, you know, during the first term. Their constitution and is pretty much linked with all that church activities are crimes of imprisonment. And the imprisonment is not just you have to be in there, but your family whole is being taken to the prison, and you cannot think of what you can get out from there. And I heard from one of the Christian prisoners who managed to escape and now lives in South Korea. This person said, particularly those Christian prisoners, they don't want them to see the even sunlight because they believe in God and Jesus in their heart is love. So they try to kill off their heart, actually the love they have from their Christian faith. There is definitely no tolerance of Christianity and Christian activities. That's what they call religion is opium of the people. Mm-hmm. And the opium of Christianity is used by imperialists to destroy and invade our own country and destroy their own socialism. It's a great political tool they need. They won't ever allow Christians spread out in the country. They think that's a great poison.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the path of the Kim regime now? I mean, 2 weeks ago on the 75th anniversary parade you mentioned, we saw Kim Jong-un giving a speech and he started crying and saying that he had failed to deliver a good life for his people. I mean, what did you think about that?
I think it's dangerous. I think he's stepping a kind of dangerous tactics. Because his image as God, and perhaps as God, it is possible he may try to be show that message of caring leader. But what I, from my own perspective, I think something he has demonstrated he's a man who feels the heart as well. Of if he was really what he felt from his heart of suffering North Korean people currently, and that was from man of the expression he did at that even at least moment. But if he was alongside huge weapons, so certainly that doesn't make sense. Actually, that's a fake or just pretend to be like that while he's showing all these weapons alongside. But what, when I said it's dangerous tactics means, do you remember in 2014, North Korea was crazily reacted to the comic film, so-called The Interview?
Yes, yeah.
And so North Korea even hacked on Sony Entertainment because of that. And because that film made many jokes of Kim was as a man, but in North Korea, they don't show their leader's normality of a human being. They all created a kind of a myth of how Kim's like a god. Even when Kim Jong-il was born, there was a star above his house, you know, the house he was born. It's kind of a portrait like Jesus when was born. And these images of God in North Korea, and that shows Kim's that tears actually has portrayed kind of a normal man, particularly he apologized in that path, something the international community is now something work on within that space. Because he has admitted the current situation, what is happening inside North Korea. So he's on the right hand side, he shows militaries, great military strength. But left hand side, he knows what situation is, coronavirus impact, close the border with China and reduced import of food and current typhoons and rainfalls, which had completely swept away North Korea's major rice fields. And foreign embassies closed office and they left Pyongyang due to increased humanitarian situation. Around 40% total population, 10.1 million North Korean people need urgent humanitarian aid.
So we're in the middle of another famine, essentially.
Absolutely.
In North Korea, no one is paying attention to it because of coronavirus.
Absolutely, definitely. It's one of the is a critical international level of the crisis North Korea is facing at the moment. And that Kim had expressed in his speech when he said sorry.
Right.
when Gorbachev, the last leader of the Soviet Union, he approached this twofold foreign policy. What was it? Glasnost, openness, and perestroika reforms. Because when he said openness, he knew the situation of economic crisis, what was happening within the Soviet Union. And he thought he couldn't afford anymore within that, you know, the isolation of this regime. That's why Gorbachev stepped in. But later on, he regret that he couldn't bring back. He had to move on, step forward, because there are no steps that he can go back. For Kim showing this tear and sorry and apology, I think there is a gap and space has opened. I'm hoping, I don't know who's going to be the next US president and international community. Certainly, I'm urging them to step into that space and in exchange of something, bring it out from that current situation, let it move on another further step forward. Once another step forward, and then international media is greatly follows this guy all the time, Kim family. So that we use the advantage of how he can continue to move forward. Don't worry about the weapons, what they have. Eventually, we're not going to use the weapons anyway, which Soviet had many nuclear powers.
I mean, just to finish, I mean, how optimistic are you of a post-Kim North Korea? I mean, we've had, like you say, 75 years of the Korean Workers' Party. Most people in North Korea have never known or experienced any other kind of political system. I mean, do you think it's a realistic possibility within the next few decades that we could have a post-Kim North Korea? I mean, can people in North Korea adjust if they've been brought up in this way?
This is a beautiful picture when you think of post-Kim North Korean society. I want to say it is a free North Korea, but we are not ready yet to receive this. And we definitely not. If we rely on South Korea's policy or South Korea's observation of the process they think about, China will definitely step in, because South Korea is an allied group. So China and Russia always will stand against. This was happened in post Korean War in the 1950s and 53, which was a huge, and kind of, it was another global conflict between China and Russia and the democratic side of the countries, UK involved as well. I think what I understanding and learn and analyze so far, when I looked back on war in Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya, I supported who we had to lead up those dictators from victimization and victims' point of view that I experienced. That was right way we did. But the following problem we had was we didn't make a plan. If we had moved on A side, B and C, we hadn't prepared. That's why the war had been continuing like for long process. Koreans, North Koreans case, we haven't prepared that preparation. I hope the international community and groups and organizations would think of North Korean defectors, people like myself. I want to call ourselves is game changers. Once we want to do something, change inside within from our preparations alongside international community support, China, Russia cannot say anything, because that's within Korean people who's going to make that decision to find and share free of North Korean economic prosperous, which many North Koreans are continuous struggling and starving even right now. And these dictators, Putin or Xi Jinping, both China and Russia, they know about what's happening in there at the moment. But China would never allow North Korea to have plenty of support so that North Korea people explore by themselves, because they're scared of the North Korea become a democracy. In the hands of this openness and opening the prison door of North Korea, it is a large prison of the society, North Korea itself. That is, I want to even join yourself and other analysts and politicians and groups, policy think tank, think of why could you not think of North Korean defectors, people like myself. Today, we have now understanding of democracy and perspective, and we know how to open this economic prosperity as well in the future. They are game changers. And UK particularly has a legacy of history, many exile groups who used to come and running away from their own oppression from the regime side. But when they went back to their own country, there was a different prosperous of their democratic path. That certainly can work on between domestic North Korean groups one day and outside groups combined together. When you see Romania, that when the Ceausescu fell off, and the outside group who was preparing for this happen, and they were well settled down and made their democratic path, which even Hungary did make that kind of process. There are available empirical lessons as well that what we can do so of. Yet we don't want to risk and cause the North Korean regime going to press the nuclear button, because that will disastrous consequences we are going to see in the world. To your question, my last sentence is, yes, I am. And all the North Koreans, my generations, we are drawing and dreaming a beautiful picture of a free North Korean society. It's going to happen within our generation, definitely. Because that hope and that dream, it kept me on why I am speaking today on this podcast and continue on my activities and standing for democracy.
We're so glad you're on here, Timothy, to talk.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure and an honor. Take care now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.